Beis. The Rebbe says, Meha Hayrois, Meha Amalael, Benegel Amais of Apel. From the directives that we can take from the aforementioned, Benegel to Mais of Apel, Kevin Shenesiv Lekach, Shadarenu Zeu Der Achen Shal Golos, Seif HaGolos, Der Harish Shal Geula, Ascholos HaGeula. In addition to the fact that our generation is the final generation of exile, which means the end of the exile, as we said, and also the first generation of redemption, the beginning of redemption. We find ourselves in auspicious days in terms of redemption. Hey, mitzat parshas ha-shavua, parshas miketz. Ketz ha-yamim v'ketz ha-yamin kenal sivtas. Say, in terms of the parsha of the week, which is the parsha of miketz, which alludes to the end of days, the end of exile and the beginning of redemption, as stated earlier. Hey, mitzat yimei chanukah shenikvu al nes Hashem. Also, in terms of the fact that we find ourselves in the days of Hanukkah, which was established on the miracle of the oil, which is the union of, with the oil of my holiness, I have anointed him, as we said earlier. And especially Shabbos Hanukkah, which, because Shabbos too is connected with Geula, as emphasized by the Shir Shel Yom, that we say Mizma Shil Yom HaShabbos, and the Gemara that brings the Mishnah and Talmud that brings the Shir that the Levim sang in the Beis HaMikdash, says that on Shabbos they're saying Mizma Shil Yom HaShabbos, Mizma Shir La'asad Lavi. That that the song of Shabbos is the song of the time to come, the ultimate redemption, and also especially that on Shabbos itself, it's after Chatzos, which is the time of the third meal, which is especially connected to Yaakov Avinu, who corresponds to the third redemption of the third Beis HaMikdash, as we said earlier. Okay, now also, one of the auspicious characteristics of the particular time that the Sikha was said, that it's also B'kviyas Shana Zushu L'Achir Ner Chamishi, Yem Gulas Rabbeinu Azakim Masarei Hasheni, and in the year of Tavshin Beis, Shabbos Hanukkah came out after the fifth candle, which was the day of the Alter Rebbe's redemption from his second imprisonment. And also, it was also Rosh Chodesh Tevis. Shemer al Achidush Yisrael Shademin Lulavanu Menin Lulavanu Vemasidim Uschadish Kemeitz Begula Amitus Vashem. And also,
why does it use that Lashon Achrei Ner Hamishi instead of Yom Ner Hamishi?
What's that?
Does that mean in the day of the fifth candle?
After, it's the day following.
What they follow is Yom Hamishi. No.
Erev Shabbos was Yom Hamishi.
I mean, sorry. Erev Shabbos. So then, why didn't they say Yom Shishi instead of Acharei?
What?
Why didn't they say Yom Shishi instead of Acharei?
Because he's trying to emphasize the connection to Geula, the fact that it is the day following.
Would it be
the Alter Rebbe's redemption? It's not the fact that it's the sixth. It's not that it's the sixth candle was significant. What was significant is the fact that it's immediately following the redemption that Alter Rebbe had from his second imprisonment.
Okay,
and especially being on Rosh Chodesh, which is alludes to the renewal of the Jewish people that are compared to the moon and count by the moon and will in the future be renewed like the moon in the true and complete redemption. So that all that being the case, In addition to the fact that we are the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption, yesh lahesav miyem liyem, we should increase from day to day, as the lesson to be learned from the days of Hanukkah, that we increase with each passing day. We should increase, ever increasing, daily, from day to day. That means the next day should be more than the day before. The day following that should be more than the day preceding, and ever onward. Increasing in activities which bring about the redemption in actuality and in a revealed, open, manifest way. Umeham, and amongst those things which accomplish this, those things which bring the Geula, Chizik Ha'emuna, the strengthening of the faith, Hatashuka, the desire, the yearning, V'hatzipia, and the looking forward to, L'bias HaMashiach, to the coming of Mashiach. We should strengthen those things, Ad Kedei Kach, to such a degree, okay, one should strengthen their faith, their yearning, and their looking forward to redemption to such a degree, Shenirgash Etzli, that he feels, Shekolz Man Shemashiach Tzidkenu Adayin Leiba Hupayel Ubegoli, that as long as Mashiach Tzidkenu has still not arrived in actuality and in a fully revealed way, Yamav Chaserim, his days are lacking. Kedivrei Yankiv Shafilu Mei Ushleishim Shana Heim Ma'at, as in the words of our patriarch Jacob, Yaakov Avinu, that even 130 days were considered by him few.
3 years.
Since the Geula had not yet come in actuality, as we explained earlier, in Sef Yirala.
Did Yaakov experience at some point this revelation of what it would be like to have Mashiach there? Because it seems that if you have experiences, it's easier to understand what it is that you're yearning for than to yearn for something that you don't know quite what it is that you're yearning for.
Easier? I don't know if easier is the issue. Right?
In the sense that,
let's say you're right.
You're just paying something that made a connection. You said yesterday that the Rebbe and the other great Sadiqim, you know, it had experienced within their own Dalet Amos this sense of being in a state.
The Rebbe says with the story of Rav Mandel Haradaka, that when he heard the tumult,
He had to stick his head out the window
because in his own room was already redemption. He had to stick his head out the window to see.
One can be in this state where one is experiencing this sort of blind sense of not having all the problems and all the other problems and really enjoying this. And then if you stick your head out there and then you see it's not there, you definitely realize there's a lack of something.
Right.
It's just the reverse.
In other words, they have to struggle to relate to your world in which it's lacking.
Right.
And you have to struggle to relate to their world in other words. They have to struggle to experience the lack because they have it. So for them, experiencing the lack is a struggle.
Okay.
For us, experiencing the lack is a struggle because we don't necessarily appreciate it. We both have to struggle to experience the lack of it, but we're just coming at it from different sides.
No, but there's
sides.
A specific point I'm trying to make that I haven't made, and that is that for somebody like myself looking at this, the by far the easiest way to relate to this is just by what things I'd like to not have. That is, you know, somebody is standing there with his foot on your neck, you want him to get his foot off your neck, you're not thinking about, oh, how nice it would be to have all these wonderful things happening. Yet really what it seems like what the Rebbe is saying is that you should focus on trying to have an awareness, which is in certain ways possible, of the great joy that you can experience by being in this proper Mashiachic mode, whereas for the tzaddik it's a very different thing, because he knows what this is.
I don't necessarily see that here. All I see is that your question is, you're taking it to the next step. How does one strengthen one's faith, one's yearning, and one's looking forward expectantly to Gula? He didn't go into how.
I'll talk to you later.
All he did was say that you should strengthen that. You are taking it a step further and saying that, well, obviously what it means is that how the way to do it is to focus on how positive and wonderful the Gula is going to be. All he said was that you should strengthen your faith, your yearning, and your looking forward expectantly to redemption. He didn't say how to do it.
No, but
he said you should strengthen it to the point that you feel like everything is missing. So you feel such a sense of lack that even what you do have seems hollow, empty, lacking. Now, that's all it says.
Okay, I'll talk to you later. There's a specific mindset I want to tell you about.
He doesn't talk about how. It might be the proper suggestion to how might be focusing on how wonderful it will be. That could be true. It probably is true. In fact, in other places it clearly says so. But it's not what it says here, right now. Also, and especially, Lahaisip Belimud, Lafatsas, Pneumis Hapteh. Potato Bechlau, which is in Yonah Shel Yankif. To increase in the study and the spreading of the inner dimension of Torah, and Torah in general, which is what the Inyan of Yaakov Avinu. Shemen, Pneumis Hapteh, which is Shemen, Razin de Razin Shebet Torah. The secrets of the secrets of the Torah. Even Shemer al Pesach Pesim mi Bachutz, Yefutzu mei Nesech HaChutzu, Ad de Kalya Rigla de Tamidah. In a manner that it illumines from the door of his home outward, your wellsprings shall be spread outward, till the, as he explained earlier, it brings the lowest aspects of existence which rebel against godliness to a state of such complete connectedness to God that their souls are ready to depart from sheer ecstasy and godly awareness. So, basically, what the Rebbe is saying here is that you should increase in the learning, the study, and spreading of Hasidus, the oil of Torah, Ukipashut. And also, obviously, the increase in the Hanukkah campaign in the most literal sense, including also having joyous Fabrengens, as the Rambam's opinion that the Rambam says that the days of Hanukkah are days of joy and thanksgiving and praise. Also increasing in the fulfillment of the minig of giving Chanukah gelt and other similar activities. And all of this should be done in a manner as according to the unique directive which we can derive from the way that the year Tavshin and Beis falls out, that Shabbos Chanukah is on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. Ubahakdama. This is before we come to this unique directive, this special directive, We have the first preface. Shani Yana Shol Nechanik Shemitzel Anicha Al Pesach Bezin Bechutz Pesach Hasamach Lashus Harav Ma'adakal Yerigli Tamud Doi Nudgish B'yesi B'Shabbos Hanukkah. But in general, the Indian of Hanukkah, which the mitzvah is to put the candles on the doorway of your home facing to the outside, at the door which is close to the public domain, okay, until you reach the point of completely removing all opposition to holiness, is especially emphasized in Shabbos Hanukkah. Shegam b'rshus harab, shenikah b'miyuchet, b'prat edin b'rshus harab b'hilchos Shabbos, nasa maimir u'matzav shel kleis ha'nefesh kalya, shemudgish b'akiloyim b'yayim ha'Shabbos, v'yichulu miloshen kiloyim, v'gam miloshen gemar shleim eskir. That Shabbos is a time when even in the public domain is more obvious and manifest the aspect of Kilois HaNefesh, which is emphasized by the Inyan of Kilayin, that it says on Shabbos Vayichulu, Miloshen Kilayin, and also Miloshen Gemara Shleim. Basically, it's... Although these ideas seem to be strung together in homiletically, but basically what the Rebbe is saying here is at the end of Shabbos in Vayichulu Hashemayim, as this explains, is the union of that in all of creation is revealed. All of creation reverts to its source. Just as when a person puts in hard work.
You mean a cyclical basis, or just that that's the end of it?
What?
What do you mean reverts to its source?
So that's why I was continuing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So just like when a person puts in hard work in a project, they invest a lot of energy into a project. What happens when they complete that project is that they reach a state of completeness, of satisfaction, the job is complete, and instead, and those energies which had previously been focused outward and invested in that project, those energies are now turned inward. The person sits back and goes, ah, a job well done. And instead of having one's energies focused outward in terms of doing what has to be done, the person now turns inward in terms of enjoying, reconnecting, experiencing the pleasure of what those energies which were invested have brought to the person. So previously the person was focusing on what he's and investing his energies into the project. After they finished the job, well done, right? Building a building. Okay, so I'm focused on what I could put into the building to improve it and to make it work. After I finish the job, the focus becomes what I get out of the building. Everything that inerts, and the more I invested in the building, the more I feel like I get out of it, the more appreciation I have for what I accomplished, the more I get out of it. So to speak, everything I put into it, everything that I put out, is now reverting back, and I'm experiencing that in the form of my own pleasure in an enjoyment from what I invest. So similarly, but lahavdil, kibayachal, lamayla, the Eishu created the world, and the world reached a state of vayichulu, which is, vayichulu means it reached the point that the world is now complete, which means Hashem finished his work. This also now invested in the world an element of kleis hanefesh, meaning that now all those divine energies which are invested in the world are now, so to speak, revert back to their source. Because it's now God going back into himself and sitting back and enjoying what he did. Now, so basically, when a person, in the mashal, when a person builds a building, when you invest energy into a building, it doesn't come back out. What you get out of it is not the actual, the same energy that you put into it is not what you get out of it. You get out of it the pleasure derived from. Whatever you put into it is in it and is not coming out. But by the Eibishter, whatever the Eibishter puts into creation is also him. It's always still a part of him. It's never become separate and distinct from him. When a person builds a building, whatever you did to that building continues even if the person is no longer here. Okay. Whatever Hashem invests into creation, he's investing part of himself and it still remains part of himself. So when he's taking his investment out, so to speak, it means that part of himself is reconnecting to its source. So in a sense, but it's still part of him. So when we say that the divine energies invested into creation are now returning to their source, reconnecting, now God is taking out of creation, instead of putting into creation, he's taking out of creation. It means that everything in creation is now going out of itself and reconnecting to God. So what happens is, basically, Shabbos invests into a reality which is described in Kabbalah as Rishus HaRavim, because it appears to be separate and distinct from God. Rishus HaYachid is, by definition, that which is within the domain of the divine. Rishus HaRavim would be that which appears to exist outside of divinity. So all those aspects of creation which represent Rishus HaRavim, okay, Shabbos brings out in them a return, a going out of its Rishus, of the world going out of its Rishus HaRavim state, and in a manner of Kleis HaNefesh, of going out of itself and reconnecting to its source, to the Eibishter. So the truth is that tzaddikim were actually able to see the difference in the physical universe, as the famous story with the Rojana, that when he was a little child, his Malamed learned with him the Mishnah, which says that when a person is lost, sorry, the Gemara says that when a person is lost, he doesn't know which day is Shabbos, he should count 6 days and rest on the seventh. And the Rojana said, I don't understand. What do you mean you don't know which day is Shabbos? When you look up, you see on Shabbos, the heavens look different. So what does it mean? How is it possible for someone not to know which day is Shabbos? Because when the original looked at the world, he saw he was able to actually see a distinct difference between the world the way it was all week long and the world the way it was on Shabbos. That the world the way it was on Shabbos was more was in a state of going out of its being separate from its source and reconnecting to its source, and that he was able to see a different world. So the Rebbe is saying, so this is that we just explained, that's the Inyan of Hanukkah. That the Inyan of Hanukkah is to bring the light from the private domain, from your house, which is supposed to be the domain of holiness, and bring it out into the outside. And that this should, which is that part of creation which appears to be reject holiness and to be separate and distinct from godliness, and to awaken in those parts of existence a tremendous yearning and desire of going out of their self-centered state, a rebellious state, and reconnecting to their source. That is emphasized much more on Shabbos, because that is what Shabbos is about. That is what Shabbos is. Vayichu. The world, the world returning to its source. So Shabbos Chanukah is a bein mudgish close in the Chanukah chal b'rishchedesh. And when Shabbos Chanukah, which emphasizes the general in of Chanukah, falls out on rishchedesh, mudgeshes edyei seiro the mesa v'helach. When that falls out on the Shkedesh, it emphasizes even more the other lesson which we take from Chanukah, which is that we have to always be increasing, that the manner of increasing should be in a way completely in a manner of Ein Arech, an incomparable an increase that's completely out of, not relative to the level which was held previously. Why? The point of something which is totally new. Similar to the renewal of the birth of the moon. When the moon is born, okay, the moment of Meilad, immediately previously, prior to that, you saw nothing. And now, you see the first glimmer of the moon. So you went from nothing to something. To go from nothing to something, we go from A to B. We go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. We go from one step on a ladder to the next step on a ladder. We go... There are progressions in this world where one thing leads to the next. Nothing doesn't lead to something. When you go from nothing to something, that's a breakthrough. That's chiddush. That's something which there was nothing previously which prepared you for that. There was nothing about the previous state which was set up a progression to reach the next level. It's a whole new level, which is not relative to the state or level which was existed previously. So the same thing, the question is, when people go forward spiritually, okay, most people treat their spiritual lives, most people don't bother going forward. But even those people who do invest themselves into trying to advance spiritually, okay, will generally do so, look to do so in a manner of step by step. In fact, there are many people who will in guiding people through spiritual growth, will insist that all spiritual growth should be done step by step. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't try, where are you going? Relax, take it easy. Don't take on more than you're ready for. Step by step. Okay. Then there's another way of spiritual growth, which is not step by step. Okay. But to leap, to go forward in such a way that nothing you experienced previously prepared you for in any manner, shape, or form. Except perhaps in making you aware of the possibilities. But it didn't prepare you for this new level in any way. You're not ready for it. Okay, there's nothing about your previous spiritual state which in any way prepared you for this new jump that you make. In other words, that's how we have to grow and advance spiritually. Jump first, catch up later. In other words, the Rebbe is not saying that there is no such thing as an Aveda B'Sei the Masuda anymore. But you have to go ahead. If you're not going to go ahead until you're holding there, until you're ready for it, so how far are you ever going to get? You're by definition a finite, limited being. And as the lower generations go, you become more finite and more limited. So if we're going to wait for you to be ready for anything, you're not going anywhere. But the special kindness that we have in the later generations is for our capacity to leap. And only after the ability to be able to go in times of darkness, in times of challenge, in times of resistance, you see people have the capacity to make changes from one extreme to another, which they don't have that much under normal circumstances. With Dafka, in times of darkness, in the time of darkness, we can reach the revelation of Pnimius HaTeva. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in times of light, we can't reach the revelation of Pnimius HaTeva. In the time of darkness, we can't reach the revelation of Pnimius HaTeva. Why? Because if you're going to start with Pnimius HaTeva when you're ready for it, you'll never get there. So the time of Beis HaMikdash, people were on such a high level, they saw God, and they said, but to be ready for Pnimius HaTeva, to work in an Avodah of a Seder Mesudah with Keches HaGluyim, with your mind and heart, to actually become a Keli and be ready for Shemen the Teira, you can't become a Keli for Shemen. Dafka in the darkness, Dafka in the exile, Dafka when things get at their darkest, we jump, we leap, we start learning Pnimius HaTeva. Despite, not only am I not holding there, not only am I not holding by Shemen Shabbat Teira, but the Dafka reason.